The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to contact the program, send your emails to td@kpcg.fm. Hopefully next week we can roll through quite a bit more listener feedback. Don't forget to tell us how you listen and tell us where you are as you listen to KPCG, as you listen to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Well, we're back here in the cellar at Edstone. After a brief trip to Israel, and I notice as I settle into the cellar here today that there's some new soundproofing on the walls, and also we have a nice carpet here in the radio studio. No cappuccino machine, not yet. We'll have to work on that, Sam. Foot warmer, that'd be nice. It gets a little chilly down here at times. But it looks like they've been working on making things just a little bit better for the radio program. The flight plan yesterday in flying back from Tel Aviv, it's interesting as you watch the, you know, how they have those little videos on the plane where you can kind of track where you're flying. We left Tel Aviv, of course, which is not that far from Sinai, which had that that plane go down a few weeks ago. You can't fly on a plane without this crossing your mind. I'm not paranoid or anything, but when you get into a plane, you think about this world that we live in. Well, just south of Israel, of course, is Sinai, where that plane went down. And then as we left Tel Aviv, the trajectory immediately took us north from there, right across Turkey, and then the Black Sea, and then it ran pretty close to Ukraine and went through Eastern Europe as it kind of curled its way around and worked its way over to landing at Heathrow in London. But if you look at just the last couple of years, last year and a half, I guess, the Islamic State, of course, took down the plane in Sinai, that plane that had a lot of Russians on board. And then, of course, just this past week, Turkey took down that that Russian fighter plane. Of course, the first one was a passenger jet. And then the Russian fighter plane that was taken down after evidently violating the airspace of Turkey. And then as far as Ukraine goes, if you go back, I guess it was a year and a half ago, when the Russians took down that passenger plane that was flying over Ukraine. I mean, what a world that we live in. Talk about perilous times. Two of those three planes, just passengers full of civilians, and bombed out of the sky by nations, by terrorists. Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. I mean, this is not God's world. It's not God's world. I mentioned on Wednesday's program there from Jerusalem, this alert that the State Department put out for Americans traveling pretty much internationally anywhere for the next 3 months, that they've got to be on guard and vigilant because of this world that we're living in. What a world. There's a piece in the New York Times from yesterday. It's a Thanksgiving weekend in the United States, sometimes considered to be a slow news cycle. But we're moving fast as far as prophetic events are concerned. And we've talked a lot over the last couple of weeks about the significance of the attack in Paris back on November 13th. This headline here from the New York Times says, Paris attacks have many in France eager to join the fight. The attacks by militants tied to the Islamic State less than 2 weeks ago in Paris have awakened a patriotic fervor in France, not seen in decades. I mean, in France, of all places. You have young people, young Frenchmen, that are rushing to join the army. It says thousands of people have been flocking to sign up with the military. Those seeking to enlist in the French army have quintupled to around 1,500 per day. 1,500 a day. Local and national police offices are flooded with applications, even sales of the French flag, which the French rarely display, have skyrocketed since the attacks, which left 130 people dead. And so what about this rising spirit of nationalism, not just in France, all across Europe? Young people are stepping forward. They're wanting to fight for their country. They're wanting to fight for their culture. It says, I've never seen anything like it, said Colonel Eric. Well, I probably mispronounced his last name. Anyway, he's a spokesman for the French Army's recruiting service. People are coming in and contacting us in droves through social media, using words like liberty, defense, and the fight against terror. He's never seen anything like this. This spirit of nationalism, this spirit of patriotism, young people stepping up. And of course, the leadership in France is, well, to this point, leading the way. French military spending, it says, which reached 42 billion euros, or more than $52 billion last year for military operations, weapons, surveillance networks, and other support, will grow by 600 million euro next year to finance the new positions and necessary equipment, said Finance Minister Michael Sapin. That's just last week. This article, this was from the New York Times, remember, it made the point how that the Charlie Hebdo attacks in January, it didn't necessarily unite the people of France. But this one was different. Of course, we've pointed that out over the last couple of weeks, how that Paris changes everything. This is different. This really has united the people of France, the government of France. This attack is different. Let me quote to you a few excerpts from this article by Hans Werner Sinn of Germany. It's posted at the Project Syndicate. And Sinn is a professor of economics. Don't hold his name against him. He's a professor of economics at the University of Munich. And he writes this amazing piece, Can the Islamic State Unify Europe? Can it unify Europe? Look at what it's doing in France. What will it do to all of Europe? We've had some things to say about this in the last 2 weeks, too. Many prophecies come to mind. It says, during the financial crisis, this is from Professor Sinn, during the financial crisis, the Eurozone's northern members rescued their southern counterparts by offering huge bailouts and backing the European Central Bank's promise to save the euro at all costs. When Germany recently requested a quota system to cope with the massive influx of refugees, however, its partners showed no such solidarity. And now that France, reeling from the Paris attacks, has declared war on the Islamic State, other European countries are shrugging their shoulders, mumbling condolences, and silently hoping that the conflict will spare them. It says the implication is clear. Although Europe has made significant progress toward fiscal union, it remains far removed from political union. See, there's still more work to be done to bring it all together, just as the Bible prophesies. It says a half century after the foundation of the common market and 15 years after the launch of the common currency, Europe still lacks a united police force and a single foreign policy. Perhaps most problematic, the EU is still home to 28 armies with 28 commanders in chief, bound together only loosely by NATO. He sees what needs to be fixed, this professor from Munich. It's come a long way, but there's still a ways to go. Specifically with respect to foreign policy and one united European army. He says here, perhaps the tragic terrorist massacre in Paris will change the French aversion to political integration by highlighting that even a mighty military power sometimes needs support. The attack could prove to be a game changer in the effort to create a European political union. Of course, for this to happen, the countries of Europe must unite to help France in its fight against the Islamic State. Meanwhile, France and other EU countries should help Germany, Austria, Sweden, Hungary, and Slovenia to alleviate the refugee crisis by accepting a quota system. And so there's all these crises, and many nations in Europe are being hit by different crises. But will this attack, will the Islamic State, if there's more attacks, there was a report just about two that had been arrested in Germany yesterday or today, I guess it is, that were about to carry out another serious attack. Will these attacks coming from radical Islam, will it pull Europe together? And the short answer to that, of course, is yes, there is another holy war coming. There's another religious war prophesied. One last crusade. It says, as Europe attempts to build a sustainable, stable, and prosperous union, it should look to successful unions like the U.S. and Switzerland for guidance. But of those unions, both of those unions began as military defense organizations and only later developed fiscal unions. It took decades, if not centuries, for them to obtain sizable public budgets and begin engaging. Well, he gets into a fair bit of details here. Let me just read the conclusion. It's time for the EU to change its approach to integration. Instead of continuing to push for unbalanced fiscal integration, it must work to implement key elements of political union, including an integrated police force, common asylum laws, a single foreign policy, and above all, a united army. Says, if recent events have taught us anything, it is that threats to the EU stem not from inadequate fiscal risk sharing, but from insufficient coordination on foreign policy and security challenges. Well, it's as if they need one strong man, don't they? Just as the Bible says, one strong man heading up one strong nation and bringing together 10 kings, 10 kingdoms, 10 nations, together with a great church, a universal church. This is what the Bible says will happen. I've given you all the quotes previously. What Herbert Armstrong said many, many, many years ago. Request our booklet. He was right. And be reminded of what Mr. Armstrong said based on Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, based on Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, and many other prophecies, together with those four foundational chapters. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream is available at kpcg.fm. Send us your feedback. Don't forget, send that to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
Abraham Lincoln is the one who proclaimed Thanksgiving to be a national holiday for the United States back in 1863, and of course in the lead up to Thanksgiving and during the holiday weekend. It's always nice to see some opinion writers refer to Mr. Lincoln and some of the speeches that he gave, some of the things that he wrote. One particular speech, I think one of my favorites, is from way back in 1838, and it's a profound message, and I think what's so amazing about it for me is that he gave this speech when he was just 28 years old. It was in Springfield, Illinois, and here's a young man, not that far removed from his teen years, and he's delivering a powerful warning to America, boldly telling this fledgling nation what it needed to do in order to survive, how to make the Union strong. And of course, as he customarily did in so many of his messages, He talked a lot about the great many blessings that God had given to the United States of America. This speech, known as the Lyceum Address, he says in the beginning, "We find ourselves in the peaceful possession of the fairest portion of the earth as regards extent of territory, fertility of soil, and salubrity of climate." He went on to remind Americans, all Americans, that they owed a debt of gratitude to their ancestors, to those original patriots who helped establish the nation, who helped build the United States. And he talked about all of the many blessings and benefits that the nation enjoyed, the protection that it had from invading powers because of two massive bodies of water. Lincoln, this is Lincoln in 1838, saying that he just couldn't conceive of any great danger ever coming from abroad because of the protection and the blessings that the United States had. Of course, there are dangers coming from abroad today, but there's also dangers from within. And that's what he was addressing in this Lyceum speech. He said that the real danger facing America was the lawless spirit that he thought, that he perceived, was spreading from within. This is in 1838. At the time in America, there had been several incidents of mob violence. Several incidents of racial division as well. Some of the same problems that we see today. In the Washington Post, a couple of days ago, one columnist referred back to this address, the Lyceum Address, and he said that this is an important lesson from Abraham Lincoln to be reminded of on Thanksgiving. He says here, "Gratitude is nearly the opposite of grievance. Yet despite the many reasons we may have to feel the former, our political institutions were consciously designed to protect, even encourage, the expression of the latter." You'll recall what, if you listened to it the other day, what Joel Hilliker was saying on the Trumpet Hour about all the microaggressions and other fictions, as he said there. And just so many of these grievances that young people have, particularly on college campuses today, and how a lot of them are just based on pure fiction, lies. This Washington Post column, I didn't write down the writer, but he says gratitude is nearly the opposite of grievance. It's nearly the opposite. What is the solution to this grievance culture that causes so much division and now even violence? Well, how about stopping to count your blessings, to thank God for those who went before us? This Post column says, "In the midst of a ghastly and seemingly endless civil war, the 16th president nevertheless urged Americans to express their gratitude to God for the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies, and the harmony that has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict." He's referring, of course, to a time that was later on in the history. But then he comes back to this Lyceum Address in 1838. He says here, "The connection between blessing counting and democratic stability was one that Lincoln had been pondering at least since one of his earliest published speeches, which he gave while a young member of the Illinois legislature to the January 1838 gathering of the Young Men's Lyceum in Springfield." And then later he quotes Lincoln, "There's no grievance that is a fit object of redress by mob law, Lincoln said. And yet, he said, many an ambitious politician, seeing no easy opportunity to advance by building up the system, would set boldly to the task of pulling down. The antidote, he argued, was national unity and renewed reverence for laws. This should be based not on a complacent belief that there are no bad laws, slavery was one, but rather on an overriding mutual interest that laws be impartially enforced and, when necessary, peacefully corrected. If laws need to be changed, man, after all, is imperfect, then there's a peaceful way to go about that. It says finally in this column, the alternative, Lincoln prophesied all too accurately, would be division, instability, and ultimately national suicide. No foreign military threat could crush the United States, he told the Lyceum. But if destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author. See, the greatest danger facing the United States, he believed it came from within. Internal strife and division. Mob rule, disregarding law and order. And what did this columnist say at the beginning? The opposite of grievance is gratitude, giving thanks to God. Let's notice a few scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. Many years ago, not quite as far back as Mr. Lincoln's period there, but back in 1961, Herbert Armstrong penned this letter to the employees of his church. This is in November of 61. He said, it's time all of us realize how blessed we are and give God thanks. Let's be grateful. He was addressing some grievances that some had. And what's the opposite of grievance? It's gratitude. In many ways, it's gratitude. Mr. Armstrong said, one of the greatest and commonest sins is ingratitude. Don't be guilty of it. Think of the blessings we all have in this work. The constant good accomplished. Again, he's writing to employees. The changed lives, God's warning going to our nations, the true gospel to the whole world. What a privilege we all have. Think of the blessings. Many in the United States would do well just to apply this to the nation. Think of the blessings that we have in the United States that we've been given. How grateful are we for what God gives to our nation, to our families, to our church, our work? Here in Deuteronomy 28, this is the blessings and the cursings chapter. Some wonderful scriptures here. Verse 1 says, and it shall come to pass if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. If you obey God's voice, I'll set you high above other nations. I'll bless you. And all these blessings, verse 2, shall come upon you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Eternal, your God. God says here that if we obey his laws, then we will be overtaken by blessings. Overtaken by blessings. He goes on, you can read this entire chapter later on, but he goes on to say that we'll be blessed in the city, in the field. Our produce, our flocks, our goods, our families, our children. He says you'll be blessed with good weather even. All the labor of your hands will be blessed. Your finances will be blessed. He says when you come home, when you go out, even when confronting your enemies, God will back you. God will bless you. God will raise you up high above all the nations. Verse 15, it says, But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Here again, same thing, overtaken. In the first 14 verses, by blessings for obedience. In this case, though, from verse 15 on, overtaken by curses for disobedience. Now go down to the last part of the chapter here. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 45, it says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Eternal your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. You see, why curses? Well, because of disobedience. But then Moses gets even more specific. Look at verse 47. It says, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. I mean, you didn't serve God with joy. You didn't express thanks and praise to God for all the blessings, for all the abundance. I mean, there's something wrong with us if in serving God, we can't do it with joy and gladness. It is, after all, God's work. It is, after all, God's. It's his project. It's his doing. It's his plan. And we have the great privilege, as Mr. Armstrong was saying to those employees, to work for him. Look at it in the national sense. I mean, what a great privilege it is just to live in the United States, that land of so much wealth and prosperity. Now, a lot of that's being taken away, of course. We know this, and we know why. But even as it is today, look at the people that are just doing anything they can to move from the Middle East down into South America, coming up through Central America, traveling thousands of miles in some cases, risking their lives and the lives of their families, their children, just to get into the United States. And yet you have some that are born there, children of privilege, wealthy children, who then go off to these expensive universities, who are then surrounded by every imaginable, well, what, things of everything that you can imagine. Laboratories, workout facilities, all kinds of funding, millions and millions of dollars in these state-of-the-art campuses that so many young people from all over the world are trying to get into. And you have young people going to these institutions that have grown up in America that can see nothing but one grievance after another grievance after another grievance after another grievance. How unthankful, how unappreciative. Something is terribly wrong with our thinking if we can't look around at, well, particularly in the United States and Britain, and especially so if you're associated with or supporting this work, KPCG, thetrumpet.com, all the literature that this church is producing. If we can't do that and do it with a joyous, positive outlook and be happy people, even in this very unhappy world, then something's wrong with our attitude. Something's wrong with our character. God lays it out here for us in quite a lot of detail. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 that all that happened in ancient Israel. It's there for our learning. It's there for an example to us. It's for our admonition. Whether for good or bad. I mean, in the case of ancient Israel, of course, they left Egypt and started murmuring right away and fighting against Moses, complained about this, complained about that. And of course, curses set in for their disobedience. The older generation just wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. They didn't serve God with joyfulness and with a glad heart. That's what verse 47 says. Because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And so verse 48, it says, therefore shall you serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you. These are some important verses to remember. Serve God. I mean, it's one of two choices, I guess. Serve God with joyfulness, with a glad heart. Thank him for the abundance of all things. Or serve your enemies, which God will send against you. That's the alternative. That's the alternative. That's why we want to get this right. That's why we want to give God thanks. That's why we want to stop and count our blessings. And then tell God that we appreciate it. Mr. Armstrong wrote, this is another article, also from 1961, but it's not from that letter I gave to you earlier. But he said here in the Good News, one of the most common sins among God's people has always been griping, complaining, called murmuring in the Bible. This attitude of criticizing, finding fault, grumbling, is negative, unspiritual, and is a disease that produces unhappiness and loss of faith in the perpetrator and a great annoyance to others who hear it. The cure, notice this, and particularly with that article I read to you from the Washington Post. The cure is to set your mind in the opposite mood, that of gratitude. Perhaps the most common sin in professing Christians is ingratitude, failure to be thankful, to count one's blessings. It's such a common sin. It's so easy, isn't it, to just zero in on this grievance or that grievance, this wrong, how someone did this to you, how this group did that to you, how the whole institution is against you. The opposite of that thinking, that attitude, that grievance addiction, is to give God thanks. Is to set your mind in the very opposite mood, that of gratitude. He goes on in this same piece, when the children of Judah, without any weapons, began to march directly toward the onrushing three allied armies, just singing praises to God, the God they were praising began to win the battle for them. Mr. Armstrong says, I've known of many people to be healed when they began to thank and to praise God for it in advance. Count your blessings, he said. Count them. Get your mind on them. They are more and greater than you probably realize. This is the recipe for overcoming griping and for finding happiness. This is the recipe for overcoming the sin of negativity, of criticism, complaining, murmuring, gossip. Set your mind in the opposite direction. Give God thanks. Tell him you appreciate all that he's provided. How about just the understanding of his truth? How about just an awareness of what's coming upon our nations for sin and disobedience? For just knowing what the prophecies of God forecast for the years ahead. Watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy, Jesus said. I mean, if we're watching, if we're praying, if we're drawing closer to God, and in that category of being worthy to escape. That's a tremendous blessing and honor to be numbered among the few, to look around at this world and to understand why this world is the way it is, and to actually be able to study solutions, to look at the answers that God provides in the Bible, and to eagerly await for the time when God's family government will be set up and established on this earth, and all human beings will be taught the way to peace, the way to happiness, the way to serving God with a joyous and glad heart. Lack of gratitude is one of the most prevalent sins there is, a terrible sin that damages our character, that brings other people down along with us. Learn to appreciate what it is that we've been given, all the blessings, all the understanding, all the truth. Learn to really appreciate what God's doing in this very dark and evil world. Appreciate the warning that God sends out in love for mankind. The way to overcome negativity or critical, unhappy thinking, that attitude that affects others like a disease, the way to overcome it is to set your mind in the very opposite direction, in the very opposite mood, in the direction of gratitude and thanksgiving. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial at our headquarters campus there in northern Edmond, Oklahoma. You can get the live stream, though, available to you anywhere in the world if you have internet access at kpcg.fm. Send us your email through the weekend to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us this week. And we'll see you on Monday.